Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 186. No stepping on Superman's cape here.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we sing our proud refrain. For Boston, since when comes the flag and ever with the right shot as big bombs and touch me no more in the work is done. For Boston, for Boston, my blood is on.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
And I am Blue Onyx.
Things have finally gotten back to normal around here.
No.
Well, come on, it's been a little bit crazy, with conventions and everything, with Anime Boston and E3, and there really isn't anything we have to worry too much about until probably the Boston Festival of Indie Games at MIT in September.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So, we are more relaxed. We're not having to run around like crazy like we were for those events. So, now we can take our time, focus, and just do what we do best.
And that is?
I guess writing reviews and doing podcast shows and all that stuff.
Okay, that's better. All right. Yep. All right. Let's go.
So, I know that usually we wait to do the video show to premiere new segments and such. But we haven't done a video show in a while, although we're talking about when the next one we're going to do. I figured, though, that there was an idea I had. Wanted to try it out on the show. If it works, maybe it can become a weekly thing. If not, we will dig it out.
We'll shit get it. No, just kidding.
Yeah. With all the other dead segments that never really lasted on the program.
Yeah, exactly.
So, there's a lot that happens in the week of news. Some good, some bad. Some of it dealing with music,
is about 50-50.
So, it's about 50-50 within the music, movies, anime, sports, video games. This week, I want to premiere this new segment, calling it Bad Week, Good Week. And I specifically wanted to touch up on this one initially because it's been a pretty bad week specifically for our backyard of sports.
Yeah, you could say that. Well, the only good thing right now is the Red Sox are doing very well.
Yes.
I feel that, I mean, even though most of the times I feel like I don't want to watch the games because that's when they lose, but at least they won last night when I watched the game.
Yay.
Even though it was kind of an iffy thing where they had this 5-0 lead, and then all of a sudden, son of a bitch, they came back, and then it had to go to the end of the game in order to win the sucker. But yeah, more or less, it's one of those things where the Red Sox are doing very well, carrying themselves. They're first place in our
yep.
part of it.
They're currently, was it 2.5 games ahead in New York and Baltimore?
No, actually 4 now.
Really?
Yeah, when I looked at the board the other day, yesterday it just was like 4 up. We were like, holy crap, how'd that happen? But, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty impressed right now with the Red Sox, but but leading with the, I guess we could talk about the Bruins.
Yeah, Bruins losing the Stanley Cup to the Chicago Blackhawks at Game 6. We had that victory in our grasp. And then all of a sudden, in like a period of 23 seconds, Chicago scores 2 goals, putting them in the lead.
Yeah, I mean, my concept was it was basically Doom once that, you know... not for nothing, but I really wasn't feeling a lot of that stuff, especially with how they were playing the game previous to that when they lost.
Yeah.
It just did not work in our favor.
Do you think they might have overworked themselves in the previous games?
Well, the only other thing we have to look here is that we had injured players. Like, a lot of them that were playing shouldn't have been playing. But that's the only other thing was is that would have taken on, you know, the whole aspect of our other players where they wouldn't be able to have that much strength and stuff like that in order to keep going down the ice. But more or less, I guess that's how it played out. We didn't get as, you know, much luck on the injury list. I mean, what was it? Bergeron was just released for the hospital a couple days ago, so that's good. Now he's back out and he's probably going to be healing. He's going to be healing. But that's the other thing. I think, what was it? Somebody told me that it was like 14 weeks until the next season starts. I'm like, oh crap!
Really?
It's not going to be. I don't know. Because of the fact, you know, we had this whole thing where this was cut in two for a season and stuff
months,
like that,
dude. That's
I don't know. It's probably going to start up sooner than we could think. You know, it just turns around and bam. Hockey's back again. I mean, I do look forward to...
We're not saying that's a bad thing. I mean, because
I do look forward to the season, you know, and whatnot, because that means that we have a lot of good players, and I mean, hopefully when the season comes up and we make, you know, the proper trades and whatnot for whoever we need to take in the spots of whoever our injured players are, or whatever, if we got to bring them up from the bottom up, you know, we can do it and get things done.
Yes.
But
we do have to give a bit of a shout-out to the Chicago Blackhawks, specifically the owners, because they wrote this really nice letter right in the Boston Globe, just thanking the city of Boston for showing good sportsmanship and everything, even after everything happened with the Boston Marathon and all that. So that was very nice of them.
Yeah, we can give it to them on that.
But...
Next time, no mercy.
But there's still something that really, really kind of irked me when I was watching the games when they were in Chicago.
Okay. Let me guess. The Pledge of Allegiance while the people are yelling.
Yeah, the
like
National
that.
Anthem while they're all screaming.
Yeah. I'm sorry, National Anthem, not Pledge of Allegiance. But
I'm sorry, but I just find that disrespectful. I'm not a super duper... USA, America kind of guy.
America.
But, you know, I have pride in my country as much as Blahnik and just about everybody else here within the Boston area and across the country and such. But I just feel like when someone is singing the national anthem, you stand up, you take your hat off, and you shut up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true, but more or less, that's their whole concept of it being superstitious or something like that. I don't know. It just didn't seem right at the time, but whatever they want to do, that's their thing, because that's, you know, there's nobody there to say, you know, sit down, shut up, or
right.
Or stand there and be quiet.
Because we quiet down when Renee sings. When he goes out there and he sings his heart out the national anthem every time when the Boston's there... We are quiet because we respect his singing. We respect the national anthem, and
I just don't think the
America.
Four fist pumps worked that time. No,
yeah. All right, so that's one Band-Aid ripped off. The next Band-Aid to be ripped off: Celtics coach Doc Rivers goes to the L.A. Clippers.
Now, I'm kind of shocked, but I'm kind of not shocked about this because
there were rumors.
I mean, there's been rumors for this for a little while, but for Doc to head out and whatever, that's his damn decision. I don't, you know, that like I mean, as a sports fan, yeah, it sucks. I mean, he brought us a championship and stuff like that. We were happy, you know. Wait, he brought us more than one championship, didn't he?
No, there was just the one in 2008. Okay. Remember, Red Sox had two. Patriots had three, Bruins had one.
Okay, I'm just, you know, kind of championship, like, holy crap, you know, championships, and I live to see it.
Oh, yeah, I remember watching that game, just seeing how much of a beating they put on the Lakers in 2008.
Yeah. But, I mean, for the most part, it's one of those things where, you know, to have him leave... who else did we leave? We had two other people go down to the Brooklyn Nets.
Three people.
Okay, my fault.
Three people, yes. We had Kevin Garnett, mm-hmm. Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry. So there goes the rest of the big three. Yeah.
And then I thought I heard something about Jason Kidd going to be coaching the Nets or something like that.
Maybe.
I don't know, something along those lines.
Maybe.
That's gonna be an alter cluster, whatever.
Yep.
But yeah, for the most part, it's one of those things where, you know, I think after the fact that we won the series and stuff like that, we were never the same. Like we couldn't, like a lot of our players,
number three were getting old.
More yeah. or less, and it was hard to keep him going. And then when we had Shaq, I thought Shaq was going to be doing it, but yet, again, he was too old to be running up and down the court and stuff like that, doing slam dunks, breaking the backboard, doing all the other fun stuff.
The Shaq attack.
Yeah. So, right now, I think we're in a good phase of where we're going to switch it around. It's going to take a little while to rebuild and whatnot, but mm-hmm. I think if the fans stick with it and they keep going to the games and keep backing the team and do everything like that they can, it's bound to be successful.
Yeah.
And I mean...
And it's good, too, that we were able to get, like, what was it, 3 first draft picks we got out of the deal with the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that means we can really grab 3 good players right out of college, getting them when they're young... And hopefully train them to be great Celtics players.
Yeah, and let's just hope they pick out the right ones and not have what we had with the Patriots happen.
Which will bring us to our other bad week in Boston sports. Pat's tight end, but will probably become a wide receiver, Aaron Hernandez, arrested and charged with murder.
Yeah. Idiot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but one of those things is that... When you become a person such as, you know, a football player, and you're making tons and tons of money, you don't have to, you know... I mean, there are those friends that you can hang out still with, but there's the other friends that you don't have to hang out with.
I.e. like, gang members.
Yeah. So, that would... that
pimps.
I mean,
prostitutes.
This is one of those things that I feel like with the whole street thing, call me stool pigeon, whatever, I don't care. You know... snitches is a dying breed, whatever. But for the most concept, you need to have somebody that actually, you know, if they're going to be doing football, they got to cut out all that other that activity alone. I mean, for him,
you have
to
say goodbye, farewell, so long. I will not miss you.
Yeah.
You have to say that to those parts of your life.
I mean, it's gone so bad that the fact that the Patriots, like, place will... I think it's the 6th, but this might already... Yeah, no, I think it's July 6th. But, so hopefully when you get this July 6th, if you have an Hernandez jersey...
You can trade it in for a better player jersey.
But I think that's the only thing is you had to buy it from the store. I don't know if that's true or not. But
okay.
I think it might be one of those fine line things where you might want to bring the receipt with you if you still got it.
Yeah.
Just
in case.
But yeah, I mean, I can understand that. That is probably one of the worst things, but somebody else on the news, I think I saw, the guy said he put up, one of his friends put up his Aaron Hernandez jersey and stuff like that, and he was selling it on eBay, and he's gotten like almost $200 or something like that.
That's it.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good... That, dude, for jerseys and stuff like that, when you buy a jersey, it's like $150.
Somewhere around there, but still.
Well, I mean, it's not like one of those things where you buy the jersey. There's nothing going to be good coming from this, no matter what he does. Even if somehow they're able to prove that he wasn't a trigger man or whatever, he's still, guilty by association.
Exactly. And his life is already ruined.
He doesn't have a future. Even if he was to serve a little bit of time or whatever, by the time he gets out, I don't think he'd be even ready to come back to football because of the fact nobody would want to touch him.
No. It's kind of like... Well, perhaps you should give Ray Lewis a call.
Yeah, I've been hearing too much about that. I still don't get it. I don't understand why, but whatever. It's one of those things where that's just one of those bad jokes.
Yeah.
My concept is, you know, they need to start making this guy the biggest example possible, I think, for the NFL. If this guy... did what he supposedly did, you know, especially because he's been allocated in, yet again, another kind of shooting type thing where he might have used his uncle's vehicle or something like that and killed two other people. That doesn't look good. I think he's more or less going to get rubber gloved for the rest of his life. You know, because that's what they do in prison. They rubber glove you and check everything up and down just to make sure you don't have any contraband.
Exactly.
And, yeah, so this is one of those things where
if he's
convicted completely, I don't think he'll survive long enough.
No.
He might take his own life. That's one of those things that
you say he'll take his own life, no one else will shank him to death or anything like that.
No, because of the fact for him to go into that kind of makes him hardcore, but also a lot of the other people would be like, you're so stupid. Like, you went from making $1 million and stuff like that and running on a football field and having fun at what you do. It is it's an awesome job.
Yes, it's a dream job.
And you go and kill somebody over something really stupid, you know, like, well, that's the thing is they're saying that they're trying to connect it from the first two people that got murdered.
Uh-huh.
To this point, because apparently that guy that got murdered now is the one who knew about the other stuff, and he was running his mouth.
Ooh, so...
At least that's what the news is, you know, conveying to me, but I don't know. That's the thing is when you go and speculate on that kind of stuff, when they speculate, it's always something the other way. It's always something the most random thing ever. But yeah, for me to say this about Hernandez, if he did it, he's the worst piece of shit I've ever seen. It's just one of those things that you have the greatest... Dude, seen his mansion? Like, that is a beautiful home.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous home, gorgeous everything, and you go and ruin it by killing somebody, so...
Yeah. Well, if they ever put it up for auction, I say we put our money down and just take it.
$2.
$2, yeah. It'll be our own bastard mansion.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, when I first saw stuff about this, I was just like, no, this doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem like him. But then when they said, oh, security equipment, you know, for camera stuff was destroyed, that's not looking good. Then they're like, oh, yeah,
tapes were found.
No, not that. A warrant, you know, to go into his house. Not warrant. No, what is that fucking thing? Whatever the fuck it is.
Seize?
No. They had to go into his house and stuff like that. Well, yeah, search and seizure.
Search and seizure.
Yeah. And then they had a warrant for his arrest. Then just to go from that point, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
not what we see every week on Law and Order.
Yeah. But that's only done in a half hour. This is going to take forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Stick a fork in him. I think the only other bad news I felt like was Gandolfini dying.
Oh, yeah. James Gandolfini passing away.
That was... I mean, I know he's not Boston-based or anything like that. I think he was from actually New York or something.
New Jersey.
New York, whatever. But I'm just saying, he great actor. I loved almost every movie he stepped foot in.
Except for Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
That was the one I was thinking of that I didn't like. But
and it's sad because that's the last movie we're going to ever see him in. He was in that
Think he was still in a couple other movies. There's got to be
I think there might be one more film he had just completed before his death.
I mean, look at Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger had like three or four other movies coming out, you know, after he passed away and stuff like that, too. Yeah. So more or less, they'll figure out a way to do that. But I'm hoping that is not the last movie he did because that is just god-awful.
It is.
But, I mean, anything else that we've got in the good news, bad news department?
Well, why don't we jump into good news?
All right, good news.
Happiness, equality, marriage equality with the Defense of Marriage Act declared unconstitutional. So it is repealed.
Yeah.
And then the Supreme Court deciding not to have a say on California's Prop 8 appeal, meaning that same-sex marriages will commence once again sometime in the next few weeks. And that is great news, especially to our fan base and friends in the LGBT community.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of friends and family members and whatever have you, you know, that we know that are gay. And it's just, it feels just right that these people should be able to do whatever the hell they want.
Because, right.
You know, that's, you know, they're just the same as us. It's
exactly.
They just rather have their own kind instead of whatever. It's,
yeah.
My way of seeing it, I think I've said it before, is that these are the people that pick up the slack. More or less, there's more women than men in the world, yep. But there's also a gay population of that, and there's a gay population of the women and stuff like that. Then mm-hmm. there's the people that are transgendered, and then the other thing is there's the people that have kids that can't take care of that kid. So then the gay couples will go and adopt that kid and take care of that kid. Yes. So I feel like they're picking up the slack. So I feel like they're there to do the population control aspect if needed, but you know, to also help with anything else. They're the ones
they're
that
giving homes to children who need them.
Yeah, I mean, they're the ones that will be nurturing just as much as a regular, you know, woman and male, you know, parent figure would be. So
yes,
they might just be a little bit confused when they're younger, but whatever, they don't care. It's one of those things that it's just going to become a norm. Yes. I mean, how many things in the past 50 years have become norms?
Interracial couples.
Women burning their bras.
Women's rights.
Yeah, so more or less, it's one of those things where, I mean...
Getting rid of segregation.
Yeah, exactly. Getting rid of that, having everybody almost, you know, just get to the point of full-on equalism. It's boggled my mind that it's gotten to this point, but that it had to get to this point, that we had to have political figures say no, and then,
yes,
you know...
And they're like, oh, we don't want them to get married because it's a religious thing. Well, let me ask you something, Blonick. As an atheist, you can get married, right?
Yes, I believe so, but...
Hence, it's not a religious matter.
Yeah, but I'm not looking to have some kind of priest do it or whatever. I mean, I don't know how that's going to work out whenever that happens, but, I mean, I know that there's always the way to go do it by the legal matter, where you could just go to a judge and have him do it.
Yep.
Not as pretty, you know, it's mm-hmm. not as pretty, I mean, but you can drag that judge out of the courtroom and bring him to a beach and be like, here, you marry us or something like that.
Exactly.
It works. It's just one of those things where you don't need to be in a holy, you know, church or something like that. I mean, I was at a, what do you call it? I was at some kind of restaurant. I think it was the yacht club. One of the yacht clubs. I got, you know, brought over to a yacht club, and apparently they had two weddings right there. And that's a yacht club. There's no religious ground whatsoever on that point.
Exactly. My cousin's wedding was outside of that Gloucester Yacht Club.
My sister's wedding was held at my house. I mean, come on. You know, it's you could marry somebody right out in the middle of the street and that'd be fine. As long as it doesn't create a traffic jam, they'd be fine with that.
Yes.
But for the most part, for, you know...
You can get married at concerts.
Gay couples and whatnot, that's fine with them. The only thing I'm trying to still figure out about is Mormons. They're having the worst part of it, but that's their own problem.
Well, they kind of, like, they took that whole part about the, what is it, the polygamy thing?
Yeah.
They took that out of their decree, like, decades ago.
Yeah. I mean, there are still a couple of them, actually.
Yes, there are that still want to be old school.
Yeah, but that whole concept doesn't work out so well. I've watched some of the programming, and, yeah, I feel bad for that guy.
You're talking about Sister Wives, aren't you?
No, I think it was another one. There's another one, like, National Geographic or something like that. Is it?
I don't know. I don't watch that crap.
I watch National Geographic.
Well, no, I'm not saying you watch National Geographic, but
I'm saying, like, I was just flipping around. I watched some of the stuff for, like, all of 2 seconds, and I go, you're screwed. But, yeah, like, the whole episode was, like, the guy had, like, 4 wives or something like that. So he's got 4 wives, and he's got, like, 5 kids apiece from each wife.
Are you sure you weren't just watching an episode of Big Love?
No. That would have been the movie channel section. This was a totally different thing. They have, like, right now, lately I've been seeing different shows between getting the Amish and bringing the Amish to modernization or something like that. Like, those are the ones that are the kids that get to that point where they give them the capabilities to go out into the modern world.
Yeah, and it's a rite of passage.
Yeah, the rite of passage. So that's one of those ones. And then they have the polygamy one. And I sit there and I go, what are these people thinking? Like, the whole concept is you find kind of like a soulmate and you stick with that one. Not, oh, I found another soulmate, hon. We're going to bring in another woman. You know, I'm going to marry her too, and you're going to have to deal with it. And you cook and clean together.
Last I checked, you had only one soul, if you want to say that. You can't have multiple soul mates.
Well, me as an atheist, saying soul hurts anyways, but more or less my concept is just to say it as a universal, more or less.
Yeah. I'm saying. Like Frank Turner, he's an atheist, but his band is Frank Turner and the Sleepless Souls.
Yeah.
So he means that more in that sort of sense as well.
So, I mean, they can't even figure out what a soul is and their concept of everything, but for the most part, to get back to what we're saying is we're happy that we're happily gay for the gays to be happy. So I guess you can put
that's a good way of saying that. All right, so some other good news. People who love both claymation and video games, as a lot of people know, I've been tweeting about this like crazy, about this video game called Armacrog, which was from the creators of Earthworm Jim and The Neverhood. And
yeah, no kidding. He put this shit up on like Facebook every day.
Because I wanted to be raised. This was a game that I really wanted to be made. And they were fortunate to be able to not just reach their Kickstarter goal, they were also able to reach the Wii U tier. So that means it's coming to PC, Mac. Is it pronounced Linux or Linux?
Linux.
Linux. And the Wii U. And I was posting about this because as a kid, you know, Earthworm Jim was such a fun game.
Yeah, I remember playing Earthworm Jim on the Sega Genesis.
1 and 2. And I remember also playing on the PC, The Neverhood, which was a game that also use claymation.
Yeah.
One of the only couple games that actually use this sort of animation style in the video game itself.
Yeah, I remember going over to my friend's house to play that because his computer could actually handle it. But yeah, I mean, that was always fun and interesting because of the claymation and how you were able to make the character interact. But also, I love the 5 minute long burp that they have on YouTube where he just keeps going. But yeah, I mean, for the character and whatnot, for the claymation that they did at the time, and it wasn't Spielberg behind it too.
Yeah, DreamWorks helped. He helped
with that. That was it was just mind blowing. That was a step in the right direction, you know, especially like kind of like Wallace Gromit kind of claymation, you know,
exactly.
And to put it into a video game retrospect is beautiful. That was pretty sick. I liked how they did that.
Me too, and I'm very happy that they're going to be making another one of these sort of games. It's not a sequel to Neverhood because apparently EA has the rights and they won't give them back to them.
Yeah, that's the usual.
But I'm very excited because not only is there going to be this awesome gameplay mechanism, but there's a great cast of actors that are going to be in this video game. So you have Michael Nelson, who you know from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yep.
You have Rob Paulsen, whom you might not be able to recognize, but his characters, Yakko from Animaniacs and Pinky from Pinky and the Brain.
Mm-hmm.
And John Hader, Napoleon Dynamite, the character from Blades of Glory.
Yeah. I don't know what else he's been in lately, but, you know.
He's in this web show I hear is pretty good called Dead Grandma, yeah. I think.
I think more or less what you got to do is you got to watch the trailer for this, because that's what's mind-blowing, is how cool it was. For them to go to the little live action of what they show is like a... Not, they don't show it crashing down, but they show him waking up in a crash landing spot, and he gets up, and then there's this little worm thing that comes up, and you don't... And it's like, what is wrong with this guy? And all of a sudden he grabs him and pulls him off, and then it's freeze frames because more or less they're showing you how they did the animation of him floating in the air getting dragged, but also like the other thing is like it's just claymation. You're just like, how the hell did they do that? That just takes so much work.
I know. So I'm really looking forward to when this game comes out next year, and I put my money down for it, so I'll be able to get a digital copy. I'm getting the Wii U version, so. Yeah. But it's just so amazing. I do love that line. Like, hey, Beak, what do you make of this guy?
Yeah.
And then, ooh, an omelet.
Anything else on that?
I
might have one.
You might have a good news?
Well, the controller thing.
Okay, talk about this controller.
See, now this is the thing. I kind of found it in a negative light, of course, of all places, the View. I was legitimately...
And I'm actually surprised that The View would be talking about this.
No, but this is the reason why. They're, like, doing a whole segment on why does this exist or something like that. I don't know, some stupid thing. I was legitimately just going from my back door, walking through my kitchen, and just heading towards, you know, my bathroom. I was trying to, you know, go relieve myself. And all of a sudden I hear, why do we have this? And I go, oh, why do I have to look this way? And I go and look over there. And it's a guy displaying it, displaying this gun, playing like on a big massive screen that is Call of Duty. And I went, that's pretty sick. So I had to sit there and suffer for a little bit while watching this. Mm-hmm. But when I'm watching The View, I suffer anyways. But for the most part, this new gun system that the guy created, it's called the Delta 6, and you can go and check it out at delta6.com. I don't care.
It looks
I'm
like
plugging it.
Looks like an Uzi, but it's going to have an orange tip, so you know it's fake.
Yeah, well, they have a couple other different versions. They have, like, you know, one that looks like an M16 or an HK or whatever else you want to put onto it. But the design of the game, like the gun controller, is basically what I've wanted for a while. You know, it
reminds me of like Lethal Enforcers.
Well, that, and it kind of reminds me of the Terminator gun that they
Yes, Terminator 2, the arcade game. It looks exactly like that one.
It has that whole setup too, because when you're watching the video, you hit the clip underneath it, and that resets your character. So it's just like the clip on that one. But now the other thing is that this gun also...
Oh, the Terminator Salvation one.
Yeah, Terminator Salvation.
I thought you were talking about the... looks more like the gun from the
no,
original
no, no,
arcade
not
game.
The arcade Uzi gun. No. I'm talking about it's full on.
Yes.
It's like one in one size of the actual gun. And it has the controller setup built into it. But the beautiful thing about this is you could tilt the gun, move it forward, that will move your character forward, move it back, move the character back, and all this other stuff. You're able to control the actual character from this. Now, that's the good news, because the good news is it's an awesome controller aspect. I liked it, and you said it was even displayed at E3.
I think it was.
I was watching a video, and I believe it was displayed at E3.
Yeah, I might have brisk passed it, but I needed to get to another appointment at the time.
A lot of the people that were playing it and stuff like that, they were, you know, asking the people that just played it. He's like, dude, I want to go back in and play again, because it's so awesome. I want it now, you know, but...
Sounds like how I was talking about the Oculus Rift last week.
Yeah, but next to that, this is one of those things where he's getting good PR and negative PR at the same time.
Yeah.
So apparently this guy originally was like a teacher for 20 years. Like, I mean, no joke, like grad school, not regular school teacher, like public school or something like that. And he was doing, you know, he just got to the point where he designed an awesome controller for Xbox. Not this one. He did another one, apparently, I can't remember, but what he did was he projected himself onto this website, which is, I think, it's not Engadget or whatever.
Engadget?
Possibly, but it's another setup altogether. But he was able to get people to put money towards his product and stuff like that, and when they pledged that money towards him, he was able to put it together and assemble it and sell it. More or less. I think he's going to be selling it soon because he's got pre-orders up, and the gun is about $225 each.
Yikes.
That's a bad news thing, too, because it's really expensive, but I think it would be worth it in the long run once you get to play it.
Yeah. Especially, like, which games? Is it going to be working with, like, Call of Duty, or is it...
He was able to show in a display that you were able to play it with Halo. I was able to see Call of Duty, mainly all first-person shooter-esque games.
Okay, so my question is, like, how do you... maneuver with it? Is there like...
I believe he was maneuvering the character with a joystick on the side of the gun. I mean, I know this kind of recalls the gun that they have for PlayStation 3 that looks like an M16 that actually has the controllers built onto the side of it.
Okay.
But I think the other thing, like I said, you move the gun forward to the screen and like lean it forward more or less. That means go forward, back, side to side, stuff like that. This is one of those things where you're probably going to have to get used to it. But another beautiful thing is it's for PS3, Xbox 360, and PC. And apparently he says that it should be able to make the next jump to the next consoles, too.
Okay. That was my next question, because those consoles are reaching its end, and the new ones are coming out this November.
Yeah. But for this guy, I felt that it was one of those worst things that could ever happen to a guy who designed something as cool as that. He was sitting there, and he had, like, I can't remember all the people from View, but they were friggin' hounding on him. I felt so bad. They're like, why would you develop a gun like this especially after, you know, the school shootings and blah, 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 this and that, and blah, blah, blah. I'm just developing it for video games. There is nothing in video gaming and stuff like that that is connected to those people's shootings. Yes, fine, they played video games, but that doesn't mean that caused them to go and do that shooting. They have a mental disability.
Yes.
I felt so bad for this guy because his wife wasn't even really backing him. She's like, oh, I back him for everything else, but I'm not sure. I don't let our kids play with this gun on the video game systems. I don't want the kids to play with the video game, any gun games on the video game systems and blah, 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 which is awesome. You are a respectable adult.
Yes, and you're but, keeping them from playing games that are not age appropriate for them.
Believe me, when I was trying to explain this to my mother, and I had my nephew going, "Oh, I know what he's talking about," blah 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 blah. I just wanted to take him and give him the biggest backhand ever to say, "Shut up! You don't know what you're talking about. You're 12 years old.
Yes.
You don't know what you're saying because you sit there and your mother and your parents and whatever. I'm not supposed to really get into it, but." Let you play these violent video games. I mean, I try to lock away most of the violent video games I can when he's coming over and stuff like that so he doesn't play Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
So he doesn't play Saints Row 3. And it's gotten to the point of total, you know, irritation because of the fact that no matter what I do, they're going to try to keep playing those games wherever I stuff on them or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for the most part, I try to keep them away from that. Like, he brought over NHL 2K13 or something like that. I was like, God, you play that. You play that a lot.
Yes.
And then he was riding my coattails the whole day. But for the most part, yeah, it's one of those things where you have to have the responsible adults. And most of them, nowadays, the parents don't care. They just go, here's a controller, sit in front of the TV, shut the hell up, and play the video game. I don't care if you're killing zombies or whatever. And now, messing with your head. But.
I have a question. Is there... Because they have the parental controls on Xbox Live and PSN and stuff. Do those keep those parental controls from them from downloading the demos and the arcade titles?
I couldn't tell you. I don't have the parent controls on mine because of the fact that I shouldn't have to. That's my decision, more
exactly.
or less. But, I mean, for the most part, I believe that the parents should be capable of doing that because of the fact it should have a code or something along those lines. I think that would be me. It would be like how they have the TV set up where, you know, they have Playboy blocked and all the channels that they don't want the kids to watch.
Uh-huh.
Where when the parents want to watch that channel, they just type in a code. So, I'm hoping it's that way. I'm only speculating here. I'm sorry. But
yes.
that's what I could say about the parent control thing. But yeah, next to that, I felt awesome for the guy who developed the gun. I felt like that is sick. That is awesome. I love it. I want it. Even though I'm broke, I want it. But more or less, it's one of those things that, you know, if I could get my hands on it and give it a try, I'd love to give it a try.
Well, maybe we can contact him.
But the guy, you know, just getting ripped on The View, I felt was just...
I mean, why go on a show on The View where none of those women have probably even touched a controller in their entire life?
I don't think they've ever shot a gun in their life. I think they don't understand the concept of it.
Well, Whoopi probably had because of the movies that she's in.
Well, yeah, she's a nutbag. But I'm just saying, like, an actual, like, real live ammunition gun or something like that. But for the most part, I'm saying, you know, that these women were just... I felt like it was just wrong. It felt like they were attacking this guy. But more or less, my concept is any negative, positive PR is PR. Man, he's out there.
Uh-huh.
He's out there now. He caught my attention. I mean, I'm not saying a lot of our gamers watch The View, but
I would say probably three of them do.
Yeah.
And to those three, I.
But I mean, for the most part,
why?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just one of those things where I was passing by, I saw it, and I went, that's an awesome gun! I want to go and check out how much it was. And I found it was $220. I was like, bastard! but yeah, I mean, if you can afford it and you can enjoy it, go for it. Because you only live once, basically.
Okay.
And I don't mean it like YOLO, blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. I mean, like, you only live once. If you can enjoy something, do it.
We'll have this one more good news thing. Well, it depends on how you feel about it. Basically, they're making a Captain Planet movie.
You know what? That's it. I gotta look this up now.
It's actually happening.
I'd rather have Don Cheadle.
You want John Cheadle as Captain Planet?
Yeah, because...
That's a great skit.
Because Funny or Die, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if that I'm mentioning Funny or Die. It was amazing. That was awesome. I just don't know how they're going to captivate anybody.
I mean, because remember, this was back in the time when there were cartoons like this. There was Fern Gully, and they were trying to teach people about the environment. You don't see that happening that way to this day. You don't see cartoons like that anymore. You don't see movies like that anymore.
It doesn't have anybody in the cast or crew or anything like that. But it says for 2014, supposedly.
But it's like this. Like, I watched it as a kid. I really enjoyed it. Did you watch it as a kid?
I watched it as a kid, and I somewhat enjoyed it, but also somewhat didn't enjoy it because it just felt so stupid at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I didn't understand the concept of Gaia. Now I understand it. Now I understand what Gaia is. It's the planet and all this other stuff.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's something along the lines of the spirit of the planet. But for the most part, it just... Some of the stuff, if I watched the cartoon, I would have been like, what the hell am I watching? Because of the fact that, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, he would come in, he'd fight the character, and somehow get pollution on him, that would hurt him, and then they'd wash him off, and then he'd be all set again.
Mm-hmm.
It just killed me sometimes, because it just felt like he's not really that invincible, but, you know, he could do stuff.
Yeah, he was, you know, sort of metaphor. No pollution, it is hurting Captain Planet. Because he's a representation
of Earth. I remember having a little action figure that if you poured, like, cold or hot water on him, it would change him or something like that. It was kind of, you know, it was kind of funny.
And back then, like, they had some really impressive people do the voices in the cartoon, especially with the villains. They had Meg Ryan as Dr. Blythe, they had Martin Sheen as Sly Sludge, they had Jeff Goldblum as Verminous Scum, and for the big villain Zarn, they had two different actors come in, you know, for specific seasons. They had Sting for the first couple seasons, and in the last couple seasons, he had Malcolm McDowell playing him.
Yeah.
So it makes me, like, kind of hope that if this happens, they can maybe talk a couple of these actors and actresses into reprising their roles.
Yeah, possibly. But, I mean, for the most part, if they go and do this, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles actually comes out, I think this might be actually better than that.
Do you think?
I would think Captain Planet would beat out the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that the...
Michael Bay is currently mastering.
Mr. Explode Stuff, yeah. He, mm-hmm. you know... The, you know... I'm kind of interested, but I'm not kind of interested, because it's kind of, it was one of those things that wasn't really big in my life.
What, Ninja Turtles wasn't big in your life?
No, Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters were like the stuff I would go to the most,
but
Captain Planet, not so much.
Okay.
I mean, Captain Planet was like, damn, there's nothing on TV, fine, I'll watch Captain Planet, you know, it was one of those kind of
things. I think that was how I treated it, too.
I mean, it was like, oh, I've seen this Looney Tunes cartoon like 50 times. I've seen, you know, all this other BS.
I've seen all these Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons.
Rocko's Modern Life isn't on, and Ren and Stimpy's not on. Damn it! I'll have to stay with Captain Planet. Yeah, it's one of those things where he was the last of the, you know, things to do. But I mean, if you could turn Captain Pitt and Planet into the Don Cheadle character Captain Planet that they did, where he'll just, like, turn you into a fucking tree, as he puts it.
Uh-huh.
I'll take that over the old Captain Planet. I would seriously watch that.
Okay. But. So let's cross our fingers that happens.
Yeah.
So, that's been Bad Week, Good Week. I hope you enjoyed this new segment. Maybe we can try and see if we can...
Let us know, damn it.
Yeah.
Say it on Facebook.
Yeah, let us know if we want to do more Bad Week, Good Week.
I don't care if you make a symbol on Facebook. Just make a symbol so we know you're there. Make sure you're not dead. All right.
So why don't we go into... Do you want to talk about the movie, or do you want to talk about the album first?
I say movie's more pertinent, yeah.
More important, Man of Steel. The Superman reboot, directed by Zack Snyder, who did 300 and Watchmen and Sucker Punch.
Didn't what's-his-name from Dark Knight have anything to do with this?
Christopher Nolan, he was the producer, and he co-wrote the story with the screenwriter David S. Goyer.
Good.
So, we have basically a retelling of sorts of Superman, or Man of Steel, or Kal-El. That sort of setup of, that's not an S, that's a symbol of hope on his chest.
Yeah.
And we have Russell Crowe coming in as his father, Jor-El.
Which I was actually surprised. Usually, like, when they cut off Superman's father, he doesn't come back until later on into the things. But he was actually part of the movie here and there. I mean, Kevin Costner was actually, like, his kind of stepdad or whatever you call it, the replacement dad. Mm-hmm. And he just, you know, he was still a lot into it, too. Like, that was the one thing that I think they probably had to contract with both of them, that you'd still be in this movie no matter what if your character's dead.
Well, it's because of the way they edited it, too. I mean, they went back and...
I was confused the first 20 to 30 minutes of, like, wait a second. He went from, you know, doing this situation, and then he's older now. Now he's a baby, and now he's older, and now he's a baby. I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
So... But I think I want to say that they did it much better than the first original Superman with, like...
Christopher Reeve,
yeah.
But like, don't get us wrong, we love the original Superman.
I love the original one, but I'm saying is like, Superman 2 came out, that was garbage. Superman 3 came out, that was more garbage. And then the fourth one, absolute garbage.
And then they came out with Superman 5, which was also garbage. And then they kind of sort of redeemed themselves with Superman Returns, but it wasn't as strong as a story as it could have been.
I still thought Kevin Spacey it was a great Lex Luthor.
Yeah, that was like the best part of that. He owned that role.
Yeah. I still like the original Lex Luthor, too.
Yeah.
God, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But anyways,
I gotta say this, too, is Michael Shannon, he was awesome in this film as General Zod, but I'm sorry, but every time I looked at him, I just kept seeing Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live.
Bill, really?
Yeah. Okay, let me show... Okay. See, so here's, you know, Michael Shannon's face.
Yes, I know what he looks like. He's a creepy fuck.
And now, here's Bill Hader. He kind of has that.
Sort of.
He has the eyes. He's got the...
But I think because it's Michael Shannon, he's his own creepy bastard. I mean, if you've watched him in all of his, like, movies and stuff like that, he has... Like, I talk to my boss, and whenever I say Michael Shanahan, he goes, he gets that shiver down his spine, like, every time he sees him, because of the way he talks and what he's been in, you know. I saw the movie Take Shelter. I did a review of it. That was one of the most messed up movies I've ever seen him in. I was just like, holy crap.
And he was in Premium Rush, too. He was the crooked cop.
Yeah, he was the crooked cop.
And I remember, I made this analogy to Bill Hader again in that when we talked about that film. It's like, wait, is that Bill Hader? Wait, that's Michael Shannon?
Yeah. Now, Henry Cavill?
Yeah, who Cable, plays...
whoever actually plays Superman.
Yeah.
My thing about this is like, I didn't get to see Immortals. He was in a couple other things here, too, that, you know, I think... Yeah, he was in The Tudors. I don't know what Stardust is. I don't know what Red... Well, Red Riding Hood.
Stardust was the one with the Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Let me see. Is there anything in here I've seen it before?
Goodbye, Mr. Chips. I captured the castle. What the hell? Oh, Hellraiser. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about this is he... More or less, for me, this guy was flying under the radar. Mm-hmm. Literally. Like, you know.
Well, he was in that... I saw Whatever Works. Actually, that was the first film we reviewed on...
Yeah.
On B3, which was really good.
Yeah. So, for him to come into this play and to this role, I mean, he was... He had everything going for it. Don't go after my masculinity for this. He was in good shape. He was in... fabulous shape. He was in the shape that Superman should be in.
Yeah.
He wasn't overgrown, like somebody pumped up muscles into him. He was the right, like, physique more or less.
He had a good amount. He had the right...
But when he was out of the coffin, when he was out of the cape and, you know, in the tights and stuff like that, he looked normal. I mean, there was a couple of the ab shots. I'm telling you, if women like the abs and stuff like that, mm-hmm. there's a part where he walks out of the water and he's all jacked up and stuff like that after, you know, dealing with the oil rig fire. Women will like that.
Yes.
It's
just like the cop at the end. I just think he's so hot.
As we could say that, the gay guys too. So,
yes.
But for the most part, I felt that he was a very, very convincing... great Superman. He did not F anything up. The only other time that I can, you know, Christopher Reeve as the first initial Superman,
mm-hmm.
then I did like The Adventures of Lois and Clark.
Yeah, Dean Cain was pretty
Dean
good.
Dean Cain was good. I feel so bad for his career, though.
Yeah, he hasn't even recovered from...
He's never recovered. I think there's a Superman curse a little bit.
There is, and that's what makes me worried about Henry, is that after this, what's going to happen to him?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only other thing about Christian Bale. He's done so many movies and stuff like that, but hopefully after Dark Knight, I mean, he has a couple other ones lined up, but it's not...
He's got an Oscar. He's going to be okay.
It's not a thing like epic that I could think of that he would be going into. But that's one of those things where I feel like there's been a little bit of a curse between the Supermans and stuff like that. But I
even
think
the TV
with this one,
episode, TV show Superman, remember he shot himself?
Yeah, originally that's basically where it started out. And then Christopher Reeve, he fell off a horse and broke his spine, like his neck or something like that.
And then Brandon Roth, his career hasn't jumped.
Yeah. So for the most part, I feel like this movie might be breaking that curse. This is the one that, like, this is the Red Sox curse, 86 years of just hell and whatever and stuff like that, and they win the World Series kind of thing.
Yeah.
This movie is that good. I felt like it was actually that good because of the fact that,
this is like the 75th anniversary of Superman, so maybe this is the right time.
It's been the right time. They actually sit down, they worked on it. They didn't just go and pump it out like they did and made it all friggin' cheesy like the old stuff. Like, because of the fact that how the comic books came out back then and how they had their opinions of nerds back then, and now we're a little bit stronger, especially because if you look at Marvel and you look at DC... They have immensely grown now.
Yeah.
I mean, people will go and flock to the actual store and buy the actual comic book now, or go to find it online on Amazon or something like that, and they'll download it onto their Kindle or their iPad or something like that.
And read it that way.
It's one of those things where they're not going to get the same stories from the comic books, because what it is they're taking little bits of each part of the comic books because there's so many different... versions.
Oh my god, I was in Harrison's Comics the other day. There were like 27, 28 versions of a Batman comic.
Yeah.
They were all new issues.
Yeah. So, I mean, for the most part, there's so many different things that Hollywood can take from these stories and stuff like that, because they've been successful on the paper. Now they can actually put it on the video.
Yeah.
So, but for this
part... And they're able to take different elements of it and bring it to the big screen in the proper way.
For the most part, with all everything that was going on with this movie and stuff like that, I thought they were going to do it cheesy. They were going to do it the cheesiest of cheesy ways, him and the Clark Kent get up and blah, 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 and he came out of nowhere from Kansas and this and that. Not exactly the way it was. No. I like the concept that he was a loner. He was, just walking and just basically walking through life. He was basically doing what the, was it Bruce Banner?
Bruce Banner would do because of the fact that
he was going from point A to point B to B to C, and he was just going through life like that. So this basically, they kind of brought that into play where he was going from job to job to job, and every time he wanted to step in, until that point came into play where he could step in, he knew he had to step in, then he would.
Yeah.
That was one of those things that it shows his character, like how many times... Have you wanted to step in? And he goes and steps in, and he could take whatever the hell anybody dishes to him. And lo and behold, that's how that went.
Yeah.
God, I had a brain fart.
it's okay.
I heard something.
But you know who I thought was great in this film, too, was Amy Adams as Lois Lane. And she brought that sort of... She wasn't that damsel in distress that we've come to know Lois Lane.
No, she was a
strong, independent woman.
Yeah.
I mean, I found myself humming that Me Party song she sung in the Muppet film.
I knew you would, you jerk.
That's how amazing, but that's how independent she is. She will go and dig into this story and uncover it.
But that's the thing. It's like, if you got the Lois Lane, because I watched one of the original Supermans. I think it was the second one or the third one or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the Lois that went batshit crazy in real life.
Yeah, that Lois Lane, like, apparently she was like an awesome writer, but for some reason she didn't know how to spell.
Yeah.
Like, she couldn't spell certain words, like, or something like that. Does this have two L's or does it have one? We're like, why are you asking? You're a reporter. You shouldn't ask that.
Yes.
But for the most part, it feels like one of those things that it was very, like, they didn't make her ditzy. I like that because mm-hmm. I'm getting so tired of this ditzy dame BS kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And
I feel like that's one of those things that's going to happen to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with
Megan Fox as April O'Neil.
Yeah, so if they could cut that out, I'd be happy. Superman, like, that's the thing. I'd rather have our listeners watch that movie because it was friggin' good.
Yeah.
I mean, for me to say that when they started it out, I was still kind of like, what the hell? Like, you started off with, like, delivering a baby. So, yeah. It's like, yeah.
I was actually kind of, jokingly, I was, like, expecting her to just shoot the baby out, like, because she's got, you know, super vagina.
Yeah. Well, no, see, that's the thing is because of the fact of where they live, that's what causes them to be like humans.
Yes. But okay. Yes. That's what I realized.
Yeah. If they're over here, apparently the sun is different. It's, you know, newer.
Because they never touched on that in the original
series. Yeah, they never really touched on that. Well, they basically touched on it a little bit. They're like, oh, well, sun, you know, you're going to have special powers when you go over there. And it's baby. Doesn't know what the hell you're saying until you throw it in the cube. Like, that. The other thing I have to say was, they didn't really go through the whole aspect of him being like a really young kid when he crashed down and stuff like that. They showed it crash down, but they didn't show what happened after that, really.
Yeah.
They just, you know, like, when you go and watch the original Superman, it goes through the whole aspect of something is basically teaching him on the way over to Earth that crashes down and stuff like
and
that.
And he's, like, getting older, too.
Yeah, he was getting older and stuff like that in the actual, you
know. You remember at the end, the little baby lifting up the car.
Yeah, that was a great part. That was a great scene and stuff like that. That was an epic scene, you know, for the Superman series.
But back then, if we look at it today, it's like,
well, it's a baby, whatever, you know. But yeah, for the most part, I feel like they did a great job because of the fact that, you know, they didn't make it ridiculous. They did everything right. I mean, this is one of those things that I had an issue with this movie was, I was like, how badly are they going to fuck up this movie?
And they didn't.
And they didn't. They didn't.
They didn't. There wasn't a single part in this film that went, that's not how it's supposed to be.
I mean, more or less it made it, I felt that it gave depth to the actual character now. Because what it is I feel like, because of the fact that Superman, you never got that much depth to him. It was just like,
exactly.
He flies, he leaps over, you know, buildings with one bound, and
you know what makes,
this and that.
You know what makes me think of? It makes me think of Bill's speech in Kill Bill Volume 2.
Yeah.
Because there was never a real explanation of why he hid behind the Clark Kent persona. But then when Bill did that whole speech, it was like, he sees the humans as weak, that's why Clark Kent is weak, but Superman is strong.
Yeah.
It was like, that's brilliant. But here in Man of Steel, he does it because
he started out as Man of Steel. He didn't. Yeah. He was just basically he was a person hiding behind. He wasn't like personified as Clark Kent. He was personified as Joe. Everybody was like, "Oh, that's Joe. How's Joe doing?" Blah 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 blah. Joe. You know, that was Joe because mm-hmm. that's who he was. That's one of those things where he kind of made a false pretense of himself, and he was Joe.
Yeah.
But that was one of those things, but when he comes into play,
because he wanted to hide. He didn't want people to know he had these powers, because he wasn't sure if he would be accepted for who he was.
Yeah, well, it took a little time to accept him, but once people knew what he was there for and stuff like that, because that fight that was going on between,
Zod?
No, the female bodyguard there.
Oh.
That was, like, really the only one that they brought back from the second movie, really, next to the big guy. But the big guy, you didn't even see his face. The big guy was, at least they didn't bring that stupidness back to him, where he just, he doesn't know how to talk, he's an idiot, sorry. Look, he can set a log on fire. Bzzzt, bzzzt. Nope, didn't do it too well. Dude, he's dumb, whatever, leave him that way.
We'll just make a
movie. I liked how they did this whole aspect, that different atmosphere. The different atmosphere was a big thing. So that's what it is when they're fighting in, like, full-on gear and stuff like that. But it was just... The fight was epic.
Okay.
You know, that was one of those things where I felt like, if this was going to be a two-second fight, I'm going to be pissed off. That was not a two-second fight. It wasn't like how Star Wars Phantom Menace was, where it was like, dead.
Yeah.
It was like, beat the crap out of that guy, have A-10 friggin' drop bombs on the people, and then they go and start fighting again, drop a train on somebody. That was awesome. I feel like that was the way it should have been done.
And it makes me think, too, of the direction that the DC comics are going in the movie realm compared to the Marvel realm.
Yeah.
Where with the Dark Knight trilogy felt realistic. Yeah. Like there was more of a realistic turn of Batman. And you could probably say the same thing about Superman, you know, despite the fact of him being an alien from another planet. But it wasn't corny, it wasn't comic bookish. It felt more
humanistic. It wasn't like how they did the first Hulk version when they came back into the actual movie presentation with the comic book aspect that looked so freaking stupid.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest issues I had with that kind of setup was they were trying to make it into watching a comic book instead of actually living out an actual real life thing. You know, it didn't work. Which Marvel has done a great aspect on that where they were able to produce like Iron Man. They were able to produce Captain America. They were able to, you know, put out Thor. They were able to actually lead it up to the Avengers, which is going to lead up to a couple more movies. They got Thor coming, and then the next Thor coming out, the next Captain America, then they have Avengers coming out at some point.
Yeah, Avengers 2.
So, for them, for DC to sit back and go, they're doing pretty good on that. Why don't we try to do something too? And that's when the Dark Knight series came out. But that's the problem with them. They haven't been able to produce as well as Marvel because it's been tied up. Well,
tried Green Lantern, that failed mainly because bad casting. Bad casting and a bad script.
That was definitely just bad all around. They picked the wrong Green Lantern.
John Stewart should have been the Green Lantern, not the Daily Show guy. John Stewart. It should have been Michael Jai White as Green Lantern, because he's voiced him in the cartoon, and he's great.
Yeah.
And I think he would have been able to bring that live action.
Have you seen Michael Jai White out in person and stuff like that? That man is muscle. He would be the perfect, you know, the guy that would fit that role. But,
you know, I was going to say Terry Crews, but I think he might actually make
Terry Crews would make fun of it, I think.
Yeah.
Because I can...
Green Lanterns!
I can only take that guy serious in the... The action movies with Stallone there.
Oh, Expendables?
I can only take him serious in that, even though he's still joking. That's the problem. Like, that's the only seriousness that I can take on him. I mean, him doing the techno-robot guy in White Chicks, that's been seared into my brain. I can't do anything about that because of the fact that he was doing the whole, like,
techno-robot
and I'm scared.
I'm bringing Green Lantern's might with all spikes!
Yeah. But, No, that's just it's one of those things where DC has not been as successful in the movie.
You know how long a Wonder Woman film has been in development hell? Decades.
Well, they did that yet again. They had a Wonder Woman TV series coming out, and it flopped right as soon as
they canceled it.
It as soon as it hit the first like little, you know, intro of it.
It didn't,
done.
They didn't even air the pilot.
You can't even get a series. You couldn't even go to Netflix and watch the series yourself if you wanted to.
It feels like they're doing a much better job with the lesser superheroes, like Green Arrow. The Arrow series on CW here is amazing.
Yeah, but I mean that I got some other news after this, after the Superman thing. But next to that, I have to say that with Superman, just to cap this off,
Man of Steel,
hands down, I gotta say 4.9 out of 5. I felt that it was that good.
You can't give it the big five? What's keeping you from that point one?
I want to see if there's going to be a second movie. That's the only
thing. There's already been announced. Yeah.
I would like to see it, but I have to, like, there has to be some reassurance that they're going to keep it the way that they did. Like,
from what I read after the film, they're going to be doing the second Man of Steel.
It's not going to, you know, do like, oh, we had to bring in a new director, or we had to do...
Zack Snyder signed on.
Yeah.
Same writers. Everybody signed on to that. And then for the third film, it's going to be Justice League.
Okay, so that's one of those things that I was wondering if it was finally going to lead up to that. But of course, you don't know if Christian Bale's going to sign on to that either. So it's,
well, we know that his Batman story is over, and people are saying
not
that...
Not officially. No.
There are rumors that are saying that it could be Joseph Gordon-Levitt coming into the role, since now he has access to the Batcave.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for those who haven't watched Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, sucks to be it.
Yeah, but I feel like I could give this film the 5 out of 5.
Okay. Now, the other thing that I have to mention is apparently our favorite special agent from Avengers, who
Agent Coulson,
is coming back.
Yes,
He's not dead.
Yeah, they're going to explain that in the first episode.
I freaking hope so, because
remember, I don't have access to X5. Welcome, Agent Coulson. Welcome to Sector 6.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of those things that, with Agent Coulson coming back into play, he could be still back in the other movies and stuff.
Yeah,
like that. Even though he's worked on this series.
Trust me, he will be back. I mean,
Avengers, the second Avengers, there's going to be some kind of joke about that. They're going to be like, dude, I thought you were dead. God rebuilt. You know, I'm the $6 million man now.
I got better.
Yeah.
You know, better from death? Guess so. But I feel like, yes, go see Man of Steel. I know we haven't done a lot of movies in a while.
Well, I mean, right now, it's the better point of going to go and see the movies now. I know we got stuck in a small theater.
Yes.
But I didn't mind it so much because of the point there wasn't that many people to be elbow and elbow against, you know, when you're sitting in the theater. So now is the right time to go and see Superman. Like, you know, because it's not jam-packed and everybody else to see it. I would say that's a plus.
On the plus side, we didn't have to deal with diaperless baby Superman in a big giant screen.
That sucked.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see that, but apparently if you're a pedophile, if you go to watch this movie, I will go and beat the crap out of you. But more or less, this is Superman that
we deserve.
It's amazing. Next to that, I think we could also say Star Trek. That was well worth
it. Yes, Star Trek Star Trek: The Into Darkness. This movie's been out for what, over a month now. We saw it over a month ago. We've just never had the time to talk about it yet.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff happening at the time. So
yeah.
But for the most part, with the Star Trek movie, I felt it wasn't as strong as the first one, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, but it wasn't as weak as it could have been.
No. I mean, I'm saying that most second movies are not as strong as the first one.
Yeah.
There's like only been a few instances where that happened, say, like Dark Knight, you know, that from them to go to one to the next, is they were able to make it even more amazing every time. So that's one of those things that when you look into the three-way series and stuff like that, you're expecting the next best thing when you go to see this next movie. Like when you go and see Iron Man, first Iron Man was awesome.
Yes.
Blew us out of the water because we were like, awesome. Second one?
That's good.
Still good. Third one, pretty amazing. I mean, I'm telling you that's... I like to keep it in that level. Like, first one, like 4.5. Second one, 4. You know, the third one was 4.6 or something like that. It just it's one of those things where you got to keep a national average when you're going through that kind of movie series.
Mm-hmm. Now, does that just say that for just superhero films? Or do you see that in, like, other films as well? Like,
well, Alien. Take Alien, for instance. Yes. That's... To put it towards a Star Trek, because of the fact that it's a in-space kind of design and stuff like that for the movie concept, it's one of those things where you try to keep the people intact and stuff like that. I mean, come on, the concept of space, the final frontier, you go out and you try to find something.
But the thing
it's hard.
But with
it's
Alien, it felt like it was in the third one where they've hit their... Because Aliens was amazing. I thought Aliens was better than the first one.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you got to keep yourself going. I mean, I loved Simon Pegg in the second Star Trek. He did, yet again, another great job.
He was funny.
His little dwarf thing that follows him around, too. I mean, the main character who played Khan was a badass.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. And it's... I mean, it was strong, but I don't know. Sometimes I need more, because what it is they redeveloped...
The Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, that, but also they redeveloped the whole series because of the fact that they changed the timeline.
Yeah.
So it's more
or less... It's an alternate timeline.
Even though it's an alternate timeline, they still dealt with Khan. I don't know what they're going to do next, because when they go and deal with the Star Trek Next Generation series and all that other stuff, when you go through all those things, are they going to deal with that again, you know?
I think it would be amazing if he ran into, like, Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, I mean, that would be pretty awesome, too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the most part, I feel like Star Trek was yet another great movie to see this summer, you know? I mean, there's a ton of other stuff, like
Pacific Rim, which I think will be our next film that we see.
If I can, yeah, I mean. But, I mean, Star Trek, I want to say 4.3, I can recall.
I was gonna give it more 4.5 for that one. I know that's a quickie review, but damn it, it's been out for over a month, and we kind of don't remember much about it.
I remember a good amount of it, like, one of the fight scenes, and... the fight scenes on what
he knew if he did his explosion, it would call up all the captains into one room and hey, what are those ships doing outside?
Exactly. So yeah, but for that, I mean, it's just, I'd like to see the strength and, you know, longevity of a series to keep going. Otherwise, what's the point? It doesn't make any sense for me to waste the friggin' money or time.
Otherwise, you'll see what happened with the Saw series.
Yeah. Garbage. Seven movies of garbage.
Well, no. I like the first trilogy. It was after 4 when it started going downhill.
They could have finished... If you go and watch the movie 1 through 3 and then watch the 7th one, then it'd be over. That would be the quickest way to watch that series and be done with it and don't have to deal with the other ones.
Yeah.
I mean, you might miss out a couple little things in the other movies, but who gives not a so shit? Much. Yeah, yeah, who cares? But yeah, for the most part, I think we could stick a fork in that.
Okay. All right. We'll save the Daft Punk talk for another time.
Yeah.
So, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you want to ask us anything, you can find us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. Send an email that way, and we will respond to you as quickly as possible.
Yay! We're also on Facebook.com. Haha, I cut you off!
Yes!
Anyways, Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade. So you can go and contact us on there, and that's probably one of the quickest ways, because we're always on Facebook.
Yes, absolutely. Now, since you cut me off, do you remember what the other ones are?
No.
Fine. You can follow us on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. I'm basically the one that's been running that one. I haven't yet given access yet to Blonic, which I will give you the password and shit.
There's going to be some messed up pictures. No, just kidding.
He's supposed to be retweeting or reposting all the Suicide Girl ones.
Yay!
And then you can follow us on Twitter at king_baby_duck and under Bluonic. And we want to just say thank you again to Poston J for coming on the show last week talking E3.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Thank yeah. you. And much love to all the retweeting and such from everyone. And it's funny, we were talking about Arbitrage earlier. I got to go back and forth with Doug Tenapel, the guy who created Earthworm Jim.
Yeah.
Because apparently, back in the 90s, he was a judge on a Japanese show hosted by one of my favorite actors, B. Takashi, who did Zatoichi and Battle Royale, and has directed a lot of great movies as well. So that really piqued my interest. But it's just amazing how you can just reach out to people like that on Twitter.
It's exactly. Better,
yeah.
Social networking is amazing.
Yeah, you can even, hey, tweet us. Tweet us too. If you've got a question, you can do that as well.
Like us, tweet us, whatever.
Yeah. So next week, we're going to be taking a break. Fun relaxation, under the sun sort of thing. But also, because we are preparing for our 4th year anniversary show of the Boston Bash Brigade. Now, I don't know if it's just going to be audio or we're going to talk to Mr. Riley, see if we can do a video version of it.
Holy video, Batman.
Yep. So, hopefully we can do something fun for that.
4 years, holy shit.
Yep, and then later on this year, it's going to be our 200th episode.
Oh, crap. Somebody pick us up.
I know.
We've been in it for the longevity. Give us some stuff.
Oh, stuff is coming.
Money. No money. More money now.
So anyway, tune in. Hopefully you'll like what we write about. I know I've got a couple things I'm working on right now. I know Blonic's still working on a couple things. You got the Grid 2 review you've been tinkering up on.
Anger. Oh my god.
Anger?
So much anger.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to see that.
A lot of pent-up anger.
So, just keep your eyes open and your ears open.
And tune in.
And tune in and read like a good person. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
It's Blonic.
Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Wait, I don't like your music.